Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've decided I'm not going to be a radio DJ for very much longer. I'm going to become a street fighting detective, like the brand new video game that's coming out very soon, Judge Eyes.
When you say Judge Eyes,
Judge Eyes!
Judge I with I, like E-Y-E-S,
yeah,
eyes.
A judge with eyes.
Right.
Judge Eyes! I'm very excited, Chris. This is not a paid for endorsement of this video game, but basically,
Dab.
You know I'm a big fan of the Yakuza games.
I do.
I love Yakuza, and basically they've got a new video game coming out, and it's the first video game from the people who made Yakuza where they've made it with American and English voices. They've actually got voice actors to revoice it because of the popularity of Yakuza, Yakuza 0 and Yakuza 6, because of the popularity of those games. They've actually got American and British actors to get involved, and I'm furious. My dream, Chris, is to be in a video game. I tried out for a video game called Fable, the last Fable, but in the end it never got made. So, you know, attaching my name to a project will kill it. I just want to be a voice in a video game that is released somewhere. That's
well,
all I want.
When
That's
we bring out the Abroad in Japan
video game.
Pete.
Judge
when,
eyes.
When we bring out the Abroad Japan video game, you can have the fame you so sorely deserve.
I just want to be Judge Eyes. I can't stop shouting it, but I will stop. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I've actually started plotting out on this bit of paper in front of me what the Abroad in Japan video game could be.
Oh.
But how would that work? What do you do?
Natsuki would definitely be a special DLC character. All right, no, I would be the DLC character. Obviously, Natsuki and Ryotaro would definitely be characters that are there in the box. But I'd
well,
be DLC
think,
for people,
well, yeah.
for deviants who want
no
to take their
that.
Adventure further.
I mean,
Ryotaro would have to have some sort of risotto mini game where he has to eat loads of risotto before he explodes or something. And Natsuki would have to have some sort of smoking game where he has to smoke loads of Marlboro Red cigarettes.
Breakfast.
Brilliant. That'd be great. Yeah. We can only dream of such a thing.
Anyway. I like how you've donated Natsuki to Tokyo Creative. Sort of like, you've sort of went, you deal with him. You're just so, we mainly see him on Tokyo Creative now because you are literally just like, arm's length, this animal could be caged no more. Just you sort him out. He will bite you. He will bite. Don't feed him after midnight. Just deal with him, all right?
He did pretty well at the event the other week. I tell you, we did an event in Tokyo to celebrate the end of production for Journey Across Japan. And there was myself, there was Natsuki, there was Ryotaro, Charlotte, Joey, and about 150 people.
It looked great.
It went really well. You were absent, sadly. Even though you were in Taiwan, about 2 hours away, couldn't be bothered to come over.
I'm busy. I only get a limited holiday, and because the Football Ramble is touring later this year, I've used pretty much all of my holiday for the year, and I am literally dreaming about coming back to Japan. I actually had a dream last night, because I knew I was recording this podcast this morning, where I was in a woman's house in Japan, and she'd tricked me into coming in her house because she wanted me to see this inflatable
house.
Well, no, it was like it was an apartment, tiny little Airbnb apartment, and she had tricked me into being in there because she had this inflatable crocodile, and I was like, "What? I wanted to see this inflatable." She'd promised me this inflatable crocodile. I was like, "This is amazing! What's the inflatable crocodile?" But when I got there, it started like eating all of my money. So all of the money out of my pocket started getting sucked out, and it was a trick basically to get all my money. Dreams are invariably very boring, and mine are just as boring as everyone else's, but at least mine had a money-stealing-slash-eating inflatable crocodile. It was very upsetting, Chris. Very upsetting.
Is that a genuine dream you had?
That is a genuine dream.
There's no way you could have thought that up on the spot. That's just mental.
Bloody thing. I think it was brilliant. A mixture of, because, you know, I think we talked about bars and bar games. You would always have pop-up pirate in Japan for some reason. Japan bars are obsessed with pop-up pirate for some bloody reason. But the other popular one is the crocodile teeth one.
I think we
discussed that on the podcast as well. A lot of the bars have those in. So, yeah, interesting.
The tooth crocodile game, where you have to try and grab the crocodile's tooth before it snaps shut and rips your hand.
Or press it down, yeah. It's like a randomised... I don't know. I'm fascinated by, like, mechanical creations that seem to have randomization built in, you know what I mean? There's like Pop-Up Pirate, obviously, every time you play it, it selects a different hole for the Pop-Up Pirate to suddenly go, "Ah, me bum! You just stabbed me literally in the arse with a big sword." with the teeth thing, again, that's chaotic as well. I don't know how they do it. Well, I'm sure if I took it apart, I could figure it out, but I find engineering very, very interesting. And no one else does. Judge eyes! Move on!
I'm just captivated... I am captivated by the range of topics that have been discussed in the last 5 to 6 minutes. We've gone from Yakuza to Natsuki to to crocodiles that get inflated edibles. And then eat you and take your money.
I think I've taken
it's
some edibles.
All a little bit weird. ridiculous, but brilliant. There you go. But going back to your point on Natsuki, I haven't kept him at arm's length, although I guess I've just been too busy.
Yeah.
I do feel a bit bad because... I think Natsuki's a little bit envious that Ryotaro has been in quite a few videos recently.
He always
keeps telling me, "Oh, I want to be in a video." But we just haven't found the time. And the original plan was to get Natsuki in at the end of Journey Across Japan. I thought... I got to Kagoshima and I was expecting him to like pop out of a cupboard and surprise me. I thought like Tokyo Creative might do a big surprise, right?
Yeah.
And I'd sort of get to the finish line and there would be Natsuki and it'd be brilliant, it'd be magical. But then turned out there wasn't. So I arrived in Kagoshima, I was in my hotel room, I sort of opened the door thinking, there's going to be Natsuki smoking, and there was nothing except darkness and despair.
I think you're forgetting how many rental cars you wrote off during your journey across Japan. I think Tokyo Creative's pockets were empty, quite frankly, after your smashing of bikes, breaking windows, you absolute vandal.
Poor old car.
Bad behaviour.
Poor old car. The things that happened to it. But yeah, no, it was a real shame we couldn't get Natsuki at the end. But good news is I am seeing him the week after next.
Yay.
So I might be able to put him in the podcast. We can try.
I think one day you should do a little. One day you should do a little Natsuki and Chris podcast. I mean, you will have to do a little more heavy lifting than with me, I'd like to think, but in reality, you probably wouldn't.
Well, how would I open the video? Presented by Chris and top London radio DJ certified Japanophile. What would that become for Natsuki?
The greatest living Japanese hairdresser, Natsuki. What's Natsuki's second name?
Asso.
Natsuki Asso, the greatest swordsman. Sword eyes. Scissor eyes.
This is going to happen for the rest of the podcast. Just, you're going to find ways of putting Scissor the word eyes in everywhere. Bloody annoying person. Speaking of annoying, the other day, a few people sent me various messages, actually, about a topic that had come up recently surrounding Japanese companies starting to turn away foreign tourists. And I actually saw it in the Asahi Shimbun, Japan's biggest newspaper, an article called Bad Behaviour Forces Facilities to Reject Foreign Group Tourists. Basically, in a nutshell, as you might know, Japan's tourism sector is booming at the moment. Could be due to Braun Japan. Probably isn't that. It's probably the fact it's just a lot cheaper to get Japan these days. But Japan has seen a massive surge in tourists from 8 million people about in 2008 to 30 million people last year. However, what's happened is a lot of businesses and various places across the country have been swarmed by tourists who have not really paid attention to the rules and have just trashed a lot of places. Mm. And now various places in Japan are kind of fighting back. And certainly there's a very beautiful temple in Fukuoka. It's coming up in a video, actually, because I cycled through there. It's called the Nanzoin Temple. And they've got the world's largest reclining Buddha, which is just like a giant Buddha who's just leaning on his side. It looks really cool. But they've actually started rejecting buses of overseas tourists. They've actually started turning people away. And there's now a rule that groups of tourists can't go there. They still let in individual tourists, you know, just people with a couple of friends. But, yeah,
like
whole buses just being turned away.
It's like being on a stag do on a nightclub crawl. Where,
well, if you look it up, the reclining Buddha looks like he's been on a night out.
It's a bit bloody rich, isn't it?
I loved it. But people have been trashing the temple. Sadly, you get a big bus turn up with 30 people on it. A kind of turn up in a very superficial way. Just take some photos, trash everything, and then get back on the bus and disappear. So. Mm. I can see why that's an issue, and there were issues in Kyoto. I don't know if you remember, I don't know if we covered it, but the bamboo forest in Kyoto, a lot of people have been carving their names into the trees, into the bamboo forest. And it's a real shame, because the bamboo, I don't think it grows back. I don't think the once you've carved something into it, I think it's just there permanently.
Mm.
And the tree's permanently damaged. And it's also just a very dickish thing to do.
Why do people do that?
So why do people coming at a price?
Why do people think everything's like a rock bar toilet? You know what I mean? Like, if you're in a toilet in a rock bar and there's all just graffiti all over the walls, dig in, knock yourself out, be a Banksy, whatever. write something arsey. But people who kind of, you know, just carve their names on stuff, they do it all over the place. It's like, yeah, you were there, take a picture. Everyone's got a camera phone now. You know, your Instagram feed will no doubt be full of pictures of proving that you were there. But you don't have to leave it as you found it, you know. Aye, aye, aye.
Absolutely. Have you ever done it?
No. I think I put a lock on a bridge somewhere in Europe. But everyone had locks on the thing where you write your name on it and the lock. And then somebody goes around and basically lock picks them and gets them off. Because it basically defeats the structural integrity of many of the popular bridges. So
I just picture a whole bridge brought down with one misplaced padlock.
It's true, yeah. It's like
who buckaroo. Would have done this? Such a reckless act. One padlock. They do that here, actually. They put padlocks on fences near temples to symbolise love and magic and relationships.
Mm. But I mean, in temples, they have those little bits of paper, don't they, that you can put like all kinds of whatever on, can't you? Like pray for stuff.
Yeah. There's another in this story. There was a case of an izakaya, a Japanese pub in Kyoto, and the 45 year old owner has just started turning groups of foreign travellers away completely, because in the past he claims they've just thrown cigarette ash everywhere. They've been really loud and disrespectful. So for 3 years now, whenever a group of more than four or five tourists turns up, overseas tourists, he'll turn them away. He'll say the pub is full. And so that's something people are worried about spreading. You know, this might start spreading across Japan, this sort of distaste for foreign tourists and whatnot. In fact, Japan has put a 1,000 yen departure tax on now from January 7th. So when you're leaving Japan, you pay 1,000 yen. So I think it's rolled into your airport bill. You don't actually have to physically get out 1,000 yen, which would be a bit annoying. But they're hoping that will raise 50 billion yen in 2019. And that money will be used to kind of... That will be put into the tourism budget. You'll go back into it, into... like preparing Japan and making it better for tourists, basically.
I cannot imagine how Japan will steel itself for the Rugby World Cup. Now, rugby is always said to be a game for animals played by gentlemen, and rugby fans have a real stick in their arse about the differences between them and soccer fans. Soccer fans are thuggish, and they fight, and they're violent, and they are yobbish, but rugby fans are more refined and a little bit more upper class.
Definitely.
If you've ever been in a place with a load of rugby fans, that ain't the case. It's just men in bootcut jeans with brown shoes, braying and shouting. And I'm sure a lot of people love rugby, and I'm sure it's going to be a great tournament. But I was in a bar in Kobe last couple of days of staying in Japan last time, and three, I think they were actually rugby players, because they wore the bar, basically. They walked in and wore the bar. And you know, like sometimes in bars you have a little dinger, a little bell, and you ring it, and that means you're buying a shot for everybody in the bar.
Absolutely.
This rugby player came in and went, "Hey, ding, 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 ding." And the owner, rather smoothly, went, "That means you have to buy everyone a drink." He's like, "What?" To be fair, though, he did buy everyone a drink. So, and he was no more... and they were probably no more troublesome than a man who flew for UPS, who was obsessed with the fact that on his plane, his cargo plane, that he was flying from Osaka to... somewhere in the Midwest. He's like, "In my cargo." I said, "What's behind, like, so you got your cargo and obviously everything's stripped out of the plane, there's no seats, like, what's back behind the cockpit?" He's like, "Man, there's like a life flat sort of business seat so you can get some sleep, but there's also a workout area where you can do some sit-ups." And I'm like, "Really? Like, is that, do you just in the middle of a flight just go back and do some push-ups or something?"
Sounds like the dream.
The dream, flying a plane, then going back there and doing a bit of sit-ups.
Doing a bit of sit-ups. It's the technical term for sit-ups.
It is very early here. It is very early here for me. I have just woken up.
It's a shocking excuse. But yeah, I don't think this will be an issue going forward. I don't think. Just all I say to you is, if you come into Japan, just be respectful.
Wind it in.
Don't fuck about and be annoying. It's pretty obvious what to do and what not to do. Although if you don't know what not to do, check out my video. Made it a year ago. It's got like 10 million views. It's quite good. But shamelessly plugging my own videos. But
How dare you?
I don't know. It's fairly obvious. You know, I remember I was in a bar the other night, and there were some British tourists just being complete dickheads, just being sick everywhere and throwing drinks all over the place. Just don't do that. Be respectful, don't be a muppet. I remember some British officials came and spoke to me, well, I went and visited them in Tokyo about a year or two ago, and they were talking to me about the Rugby World Cup, and they sort of said, "Can you make a video telling foreigners not to be dickheads?" And I said, "Well, I've kind of already done it on my what not to do video anyway," but there's definitely some fear. I can feel the fear of certain foreign governments and the way their people might act in Japan during the Rugby World Cup, and certainly during the Olympics as well.
Oh, mate, I mean, kick out time in the karaoke place on the corner, there are some people who have done a bit too much nomi sugiing or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, and there is enough Japanese people falling about the street outside the karaoke bar, but, you know, It's they're not quite as boisterous or loud, or I guess nobody understands what they're saying.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Yeah, I mean, Japanese people just get drunk and then fall over and fall asleep, like on a train. Whereas foreigners just keep going and going and going.
They don't know when the party's over.
That's right. But there you go, just be careful. I think it's more big groups. And, you know, I think most of the criticism that I've seen is aimed at Asian tourists as well, actually, as opposed to Western tourists. I don't know why that is. I think the rule, I think maybe certain cultures in Asia are just slightly less polite or not that big on politeness. And so they don't care. But there you go.
Some of them will have a spit. I've seen people like spit in airports on like carpeted floors. I'm like, where do you think that spit's going to go? It's crazy.
It's going to ferment into the ground.
It's crazy.
We now turn our attention to the fax machine, though. What have we got, Pete?
We have got... I was taking a sip of my very syrupy coffee. It was disgusting. Hello to... It's a long one, so it comes from... Well, I don't think we got a name on the first one, Chris.
Shit. If you can, if you can, I think it's the first time we've got a name.
Oh, my word. Fax. I'm going to invent a name. And that name is quite characteristically going to be Mr. Judge Eyes. Hi, Chris and Pete. Love the podcast. It's a great way to relax during my breaks whilst working as a doctor in London. My girlfriend and I were lucky enough to go on our first trip to Japan in February. Whilst in Tokyo, we got to put some of your top tips into practice. Having chosen an izakaya that looked buzzing from the outside, we opened the doors to a sudden lull in the conversation. A man sitting at the bar swapped seats so we could sit down and shouted, "International!" It took a while Naturally. Finding something to talk about until we settled into one of Chris's suggestions. Fat jokes. Through Google Translate, we went on to learn about the man's problems with neutral fat and discovered that our dog, a Shih Tzu Maltese cross, was a hafu. People bought us drinks, and the izakaya's owner took our photo before giving us paper lanterns as a present of international friendship. We had a great night, and we had owed all to the knowledge that Japanese people love to talk about people's weight. So there you go. That's a really good piece of advice. Do a joke about being a bit chunky.
I love the way that how that question sort of fits into the narrative of what we've just discussed. In one hand, an izakaya public bar owner is turning away foreigners, saying it's full. On the other hand, they're welcoming foreign tourists into their bar by shouting out the word international.
International.
And half-y. Brilliant. Brilliant. That's nice. That's great. I'm glad. It's I don't lovely. Know what's neutral fat.
I think it's just...
No idea.
Is it just fat that collects around the tum-tum and the side-side? We've all got a bit. I did a bit of running around in the gym for the first time. I started going to the gym this time last year, just doing weights. And for the first time in a year, I actually went on, like, a running machine. And my knees are shot.
Ooh.
And, yeah, it's really hard work. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. So if there's no Good more man. Bronze Man podcast, that's why. Or it's suddenly Natsuki.
Well, then we'll have to get,
get
then we'll have to press ahead with getting Natsuki on board.
Yeah,
which just be an awkward conversation that takes place in half English, half Japanese, and half cigarette. So yeah, don't die yet. And I feel it's important to reveal the person's name. I found it while we were reading that out. I found the name. It's Philip Oddie. It's not
Hello.
Mr. Judge Eyes or whatever it was. It's Philip Oddie. Well done, Philip.
Philip Oddie, presumably his first letter, the first letter of his first name, P, and Oddie. Welcome to the pod, Poddy. Let's move on.
It is too early in the morning, isn't it?
It is too early in the morning.
For you. Dear, oh dear. Well done, Philip, for being international. The next question
is
Oddie
on the Poddy.
From Johnny.
Johnny.
Hi, Chris and Pete. God. Hi, Chris and Pete. My name is Johnny from Northern Ireland, and I'm a big fan of the podcast. I've been loving the strange stories from other people's experiences, and I thought I'd share my own. On a trip over in 2016 in Japan, I was standing outside Akihabara Station at the electric town entrance. I was sending messages back home to family before I went exploring, and a random salaryman in his mid-40s came up to me and said in broken English, "Me so hungry, please 200 yen. I said no, thinking he was just trying to get some money out of me, being a silly foreigner. But he wouldn't stop asking, so eventually I relented and I gave him his precious 200 yen. He thanked me and then he walked off. I continued sending my messages home, and 5 minutes later, the same man came back with some mochi, some rice cake, and offered me some. I politely declined and he shouted, "Itadakimasu!" very loudly. I walked away with a very big smile on his face. I broke out in laughter, and it made my day, the fact he came back with something to eat. Johnny. And those of you wondering what itadakimasu means, that's kind of just what you say before you eat in Japan. It means I humbly receive.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He humbly received the 200 yen mochi.
Amazing.
Nice, isn't it?
I love that a lot. I like the way that he sort of came back with to share some of the ridiculous amount of food he got for 200 yen. Let's make that very clear. What's that, like £1.40, something like that?
£1.40.
Incredible.
Yeah, about that. It's like $2, £1.40.
Comes back
What's
with more mochi to share.
Is this a homeless man or a salary man? Because it's quite unheard of. For, what's interesting is both salary men and homeless people, I don't think I've ever been approached by either to ask for anything. So presumably maybe it was a homeless guy dressing up as a salary man, trying to get some money. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. What do you think? Yeah. I've never been asked for money, even by homeless people, to be fair. I don't know what the situation is there. But yeah, it's I've never had that situation before. But well done that man for coming back and offering a bit of food.
Well, there's certainly a lot of homeless in Tokyo, a topic for another day, but they keep to themselves, they really do, and they don't very rarely interact with people, actually. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a nice story, though, isn't it?
Somebody sort of said why you don't see quite so many homeless people in Japan, and it's something to do with they have more like the idea of like an asylum is a little bit more accepted out there. Like
it's
for people with mental health problems, they have
really.
I think there's more. I'm almost certain this is correct, but if this is wrong, someone will no doubt correct me almost immediately via Twitter or on the emails or whatever. But I'm fairly certain that whereas we gave up asylums and places where we'd sort of stick people who had mental problems and sort of gave it up for a kind of care in the community, try and reintroduce people back into society, I guess maybe because the infrastructure just isn't there for the Japanese, there's more of a care in home or care in asylum system out there. So that's why you don't see people with massive mental problems on the streets of Japan, and that's why you don't see quite so many homeless people.
I don't know about asylums. What I do know is there is lots of cheap accommodation for homeless people,
right.
Or like really, really like low price, where you get like a tiny little room the size of a wardrobe, and you can like sort of live in there at a really low price. But yeah, I don't know. That's something to definitely discover and explore and discuss in a future episode.
Well, let's do that. It's a heavy subject, but it's an important one, I think, in many ways. We got an email, Chris, from the fax machine.
I love that you're sort of nudging this one over to me. Damn you.
No,
I can
can read this one. That's fine. Did I read the last one? I can't remember.
You've got the nice voice.
I've got a voice.
Give the people what they want.
That at some point will sneeze, so because I've got a terrible sniffle. Craig.
All listening anticipation.
Hello, Craig. I just got back from the first of hopefully many trips to Japan. I had a great time in Kumamoto, Kyoto, and Tokyo. I got to meet Chris and Natsuki and Ryotaro at the meetup. Never mind. A few days after, whilst in Tokyo, I was walking from around the Senjuji area to the Sky Tree. On the way there, I went past a Buddhist temple, Nichiren Soshu Josenji Temple, and there was a bloke outside offering free tours. I thought, why not take him up on the offer, as I'd visit a few other shrines and temples. So we go inside, and he's telling me about the history of the temple, and another volunteer has joined and is telling me about Buddhism. Their English was good, but not like tour guide level, so I was having to work out what they meant a lot, but free tour, can't complain. We made our way to the prayer room, and he explained the altar and the meanings behind everything in the room. He also demonstrated the prayers, and I joined in with them because I wanted to be polite, and they asked me to. Then they started showing me some pictures of different temples, rituals and ceremonies. Being polite, I kept saying yes and trying to show my interest in them. At some point, they must have asked if I wanted to join, but I must have misunderstood or misheard, and I just replied yes to be polite. So the next thing I know, this Buddhist priest, probably the wrong term, comes in and starts starting a ceremony, basically. The guides gave me a little book with prayers in kanji and romaji, and and I had to follow along like karaoke. I had to go up to the front, and I got tapped on the head by the priest with a roll of paper, which I recognised from one of the pictures the volunteer showed me as the joining ceremony, like a christening, but I can't remember the name of it. After the ceremony, the volunteers both congratulated me, and some others who came into the prayer also pulled over and congratulated me. I had to write my name on some forms, and they gave me some prayer beads, and I had a nice bag for them, along with a book with prayers in. I had to put a coin in an envelope up and write my name on it, so the whole experience only cost me 100 yen. Cheaper than a rice bowl. I'm not worried about the experience because it was quite interesting and I got a funny story out of it. I told the people at the hostel I was staying about it and showed them the stuff I was given, and they've never heard of this happening before. Has this happened to anyone you know before? No, I think is probably the response I almost know that's going to come out of Chris. And certainly my end, I've never heard of that before. That's incredible. It's like, it reminds me of like the sign. I live around the corner from the Hare Krishnas who go around town. They'll sort of hand you a book and you think it's a free book, and once you grab hold of that book they demand money because they've got to keep their temple going. But they're but I hear the Hare Krishnas coming past my window daily, And they have such beautiful voices and such beautiful music that I think I might possibly at some point join the Hare Krishnas because they sound so beautiful. But they also have, what else? We've also got the Scientologists up the road as well who do a similar sort of thing. Do you want to do a personality test? You feel you look a bit depressed? Come in here and find out why
you should definitely do it, Pete.
I should definitely join the Scientologists. Well, I'm in the media, so I should join the Scientologists, see what that's all about.
It's amazing, isn't it? If you just say yes to something,
yeah,
and then you walk in through a door,
getting all kinds of
and
trouble.
Mayhem unfolds, mm-hmm, like it did to Craig. You know, this is like a the equivalent of baptism, but in Buddhism. And this has not happened to anyone that I know.
No.
So, Craig, you certainly had a bit of an adventure there. Yeah, and again, that's quite interesting in contrast to the temple earlier, where people were being turned away. In this one, for 100 yen... you get baptised as a Buddhist. Mm. Bargain. And what an adventure.
Yeah, that's cheaper than, like... I mean, I went to Catholic school, but I'm not a Catholic. And I guess if you... I guess the collection plate, you'd have to put a bit of money in every week there. And, you know, it's that's probably going to cost you. So, yeah, it's probably the most money per god worth it. Money per god.
Well, I mean, you could buy half a rice cake with that.
You could, exactly.
Sorted. What would you rather have for 200 yen? Mochi rice cake or two baptisms, one for you and one for your friend Dave? Don't know. Let us know at abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. And do let us know. I'm still sitting here with my paper thinking about what the Abroad in Japan video game could be.
Mm.
What could that look like? Paint a picture for us. Ladies and gentlemen, send in your ideas in the same way you sent in your ideas for the tattoo that I've yet to do,
yes,
but I'm still weighing up.
Maybe all the people who the Abroad in Japan podcast email us or fax machiners have experienced or ran into, they could be like side quests. So you could have the man with the mochi rice ball, you could have the the religious people trying to indoctrinate you and trying to sign you up. Fantastic. Maybe the mochi could be the body of Christ. Nice, soft body of Christ.
What would be the blood?
Probably be Buddha, though, wouldn't it? Because he's got a nice, squidgy belly. Mochi. Imagine a Buddha made out of mochi. I'd love to eat that. That'd be delicious. Delicious God.
Well, that could be a mission in the game.
But Find the edible God.
That's a great place to end it. With that thought in mind. But for now, guys, that is all. We'll be back same time next week. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll be waiting here right back for you next Wednesday or Thursday. Not even I know when this podcast goes out. It's one of those 2 days, but have a good one.
Jajais!
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions
over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.